Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
And think about this after last night, too, right? You want to talk about Steph Curry MVP and what he's at. No, it's not a Steph Curry conversation. We'll have another one coming up. But certain things, you have to kind of come around to the fact that this is going to happen, right? Last night in the NBA, we didn't spend a lot of time. It happened late, and, you know, obviously the reaction to it is still all full today. Carmelo Anthony hit the top 10 in scoring all-time on the NBA's all-time list last night. Got into the top 10, and it really is incredible to see him get that high when you thought his career was over just 2 or 3 years ago. I was like, he's never going to get back. Who's going to keep him? There's no way. There's no way Melo's even going to play anymore. And he and Chris Paul, I'll tell you, have done the best job of making me look like an idiot because, you know, it's very difficult to do that.
Really? You're putting them on the medal stand?
They have done
the
best job.
I do it every damn night.
These are, oh, stop with it. You think, it's like in your mind, you think you do it. You know, like it's different, like in realistic. Anyway, Melo, I thought 2 or 3 years ago, he's done, right? Chris Paul is done. And here he's found a way to get back into the league when it looked like with Houston he was finished. And here he is now, and he can do what he's doing now for the next few years. Like, you know, this is not like, well, Melo's done. Now, Melo's still got another couple of years left to be able to be this kind of weapon where he just has to worry about scoring and playing less minutes. I mean, he passes Elvin Hayes last night. He is now 10th all-time in scoring with over 27,300 points. He's at 27,313, or 27,318, passing Elvin Hayes last night. Everybody else is in the Hall of Fame or going to the Hall of Fame, and that's where Melo's going to end up. All right, now for everybody who goes, oh, but Melo, I don't see him as an all-time great. I don't see him as all these things. Melo, let's just realize for a second, because this is where Steph Curry gets back into it. The Hall of Fame is the Basketball Hall of Fame. And this, it's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. The guy's got 3 gold medals. The guy's got 27,000 points. He's going to wind up passing Moses Malone. He's probably going to end up passing Shaq when it's all said and done. Wilt, I don't know, but he's going to wind up passing Moses and Shaq. He's going to be deep into the top 10 by the time he retires from the NBA, right? Which, let's say he's got a couple of years left. He has an outside shot. Maybe he plays 3. If he plays 4 more years, 5, maybe, but at least you're looking at him passing Moses and he's passing Shaquille O'Neal. So he's going to finish up, let's just say conservatively, as the 8th all-time leading scorer in NBA history. All right, that's what he's done. So the guy's a Hall of Famer. Now you want to talk to me about how great Steph Curry is. Steph Curry right now is 75th all-time scoring in the NBA. All right, 75th all-time. All right, now this doesn't mean that Steph is awful. This doesn't mean that, but Steph is 75th. Now, he probably is going to score way more points than Melo the next few years. But where is he going to wind up? I mean, he is 9,000 points ahead of Steph Curry. 9,000 points. And when a guy scores an average of, if you're having a really good year, 1,900 points a year, is he going to score that many for the next 5 years? Is Curry going to be scoring 30 points a game when he's 38 years old? He's not. So he's going to peter out, most likely, well short of the top 10. All right, so if you want to take Steph Curry's career as a whole, you have to understand that when you're talking about all his great, he became terrific when Steve Kerr came to town. When Steve Kerr came to town and suddenly it was, here's the offense we're running. We're up and down the floor. We're taking advantage of what you do. And Steph Curry's points per game jumped up 8 points per game. He was a nice borderline all-star player, Steph Curry, his first 6 years in the league. Not first 2 years, first 6 years in the league, through his rookie contract into his second contract. He's 23, 24 points a game. Lots of guys do that, right? Now, but since Steve Kerr showed up, he's turned into this player. But understand, you're taking the whole career now, that Steph wasn't that great a player when he was young in his first 6 years. Melo was. And this is not a conversation about boy Mel, but when you say Carmelo Anthony, it's easy for people to dismiss him and go, ah, the guy never won. He didn't do this, never played defense. All he did was get paid, all these things. Hey, what about Steph Curry? Oh, Steph's one of the great scorers of all time. Melo's a greater scorer when you go all the way through their careers. Okay, now obviously it's not said and done yet, but hey, if Steph's a great scorer, he gets up to Melo, doesn't he? I mean, he'll get to up to 27,000, right? Because the first 6 years when Melo comes out and he's terrific and Steph is scoring 22, 23 a game, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, you got to take everything into consideration when you break down somebody's career. So when you look at Melo, yeah, okay, Hall of Famer, what he's done, and understand as good as Steph Curry is, boy, Steph Curry's on the outskirts right now. He's going to move up. He'll be up there in 70 and then 65 and 50. But, you know, how many more years does he have? He's 33. Right, and he's got a lot of injuries. How many more years are you going to have? How many more years are you going to score 30 points a game? That's a very big deal in the NBA. It's a very big deal for Melo.
Career best for Steph Curry was 2375, if my math is correct, going back to 2015, if I'm able to read. His next best effort goes pretty far down the list. I mean, not even top 250, if I'm getting this right off of Basketball Reference. And you've got an awful lot of Carmelo Anthony's and other active players mixed therein. Take nothing away from it. Eventually, Steph's going to drain it. But if we do, you know, generously get him in that 1900 to 2000 per year, which is he's going to pass that here, right? He's, what, about 1,900 now with seven games remaining. So say 30. All right, so he gets to 2,100 or thereabouts. That ranks in the 160s all time. Right next to Carmelo Anthony, who had 2,112 in 2013. See what I did there? No. So
I see what you did there, buddy.
No, it's always fun to extrapolate and make our comparisons. And I think the point of this exercise is for folks to remember what Carmelo Anthony was, right? Beyond the headlines and the fights in New York, and obviously the team didn't get over, and James Dolan has been a joke for all these years. This year, we're not hearing about him. By the way, you forgot to talk about Julius Randle before with MVP stuff, buddy.
We'll get to Julius Randle, but I'm just saying Julius Randle.
Yeah, but you were doing some of the other guys. You at least had to put his name in there just so people could say, oh, here he goes with the Knicks. But in this particular case, I mean, when he came into the league, the guy was a force. And these last couple of years, I mean, the speech he gave last night was phenomenal. Right, talking about the fight and getting back into the league and how much he loves basketball and all of those things. But you start thinking about top 10 all time. That's longevity, that's fight, that's health, and that's, you know, you could say there's some empty stats there. They all count the same, right? Right, if we're going to do that. Because right now, you know, all the folks that were tweeting at us going, look at all the points he's got after three. It's like they lost to the Pelicans. Okay, he's done. He was done tonight. He didn't score again, missed some shots, committed a couple of turnovers, and they lost to the Pelicans in a very winnable game, especially given the fact that they blew them out a night ago. I know back-to-back and things change and adjust. No, my ass adjustments. They played a lackluster game, and they got beat by Lonzo Ball. Okay? So when we get down to it, I mean, Steph Curry, fantastic. Just every time we have these, he's the greatest of all time. He's not really even a point guard. See, it all funnels back into the same thing of when we're trying to put a guy in a box, let's make sure we're actually using the right box.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is not something to say, oh, hey, but just to point out what a great scorer Steph Curry is. Here's what Melo's done. He's 3 years older than Steph, but he's got 9,000 more points. Okay, it's not like, well, when Steph plays three more years, he's going to have that 9,000. No, he's not even going to be close to Melo. I mean, I don't know when Steph's done if he's going to have more points than Melo. I would stay with Melo. 9,000 points. Melo's going to play at least another couple of years. Steph's going to play probably five more years, let's just say. And I'll take Melo finishing with more points than Steph Curry. When you want to talk about, hey, let's talk about the list of great scorers, where they wind up sitting all time. I'll
and that headband that will go into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame.
Oh, sure. I mean, look.
I don't know that there's a thing that we text each other back and forth more than the Melo shaking his head.
Oh, I love the Melo shaking his head, yes, is my favorite GIF. I've been using that for like the last 2 months all the time. It's my favorite one.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Today, Clayton Kershaw had the shortest outing of his career. Went one inning for the Dodgers against the Cubs, gave up four runs in the bottom of the first inning, and was pulled. Boy, the one time I wouldn't want to be Dave Roberts was telling Clayton, hey, dude, you're done after one inning. And it's not like this has been a bad season for Clayton Kershaw. He's pitched really well. Today just wasn't his day. And to take him out after one inning, and 40 pitches. I mean, we've never seen that before. But honestly, you know, watching this game earlier today, when he walked Javi Baez, okay, and let's face it, Javi Baez, what's his walk rate? 1%? I mean, I could throw pitches 30 feet outside the strike zone and Javi Baez would still swing at them. And I could still hit it. I could still hit that ball. I mean, he should have been taken out just for walking Javi Baez.
He had one walk entering this game.
I mean, really, and this is Clayton Kershaw, one of the best control pitchers that you've ever seen. And he had one walk all season. His walk rate is 1%. And here he is, and he walks him in the first inning. That's when you know, hey, I don't have it today, man. I really don't. I do not have it today. So, you know, he should have been taken out of the game just for that. I mean, really, that should have been, which, you know, it's got to come out.
39 pitches, most ever in a first inning.
He hasn't walked since April 8th. That was the only time Javi Baez had walked in a game up until today.
That's pretty amazing.
Mm.
So I'm going to blame it on the umpire.
Okay.
No, Clayton had a bad start.
Somehow it's Angel Hernandez's fault. I know it.
But like we talked about yesterday, with all the injuries you've got going on in the rotation and in the bullpen, a start like that just absolutely murders you for the rest of the game. So I don't even think they would want to go to Kenley Jansen, but it becomes a who's available kind of situation, and that's where we get to this mess here. And you know what? They haven't won a series at Wrigley's. Listen to the our friends on AM570 LA Sports. They haven't won a series at Wrigley since 2014. For all the dominance all across Major League Baseball and what we've seen from the Dodgers, heading into Chicago, it has become like Miami. They're just not coming for a full series effort once they hit that neighborhood.
You know, and that's something that you see, and every team has that, right? That's something everybody listening right now goes, oh, I know it. There's certain times when I know wherever we go to a certain place to play, like the Mets, we're not going to play well. Or like
when the Jets play, we're not going to go play.
We're going to go play in Philadelphia. We're not going to win. We're not going to win Philadelphia, and we're not going to win in Minnesota. Right? Those two, I know it. The Jets have to play there. We're not going to win. We're not going to win in those places. When the Mets go and play in San Francisco, the Mets are not going to win. Right? Certain places.
I used to go see the White Sox play the A's all the time. I'd go to two games out of every series. I saw, I think, one win in the 5 years I lived in the Bay Area. It was just awful. But I'd go every night. It's like, come on, guys. It's like there'd be the same 10 of us standing next to each other in one section. There was people scattered throughout the park, of course. But it was the same people going down and being by the dugout. It's like, are we actually going to win a game here? I mean, it was just miserable. And you're at the O.co, which is a hole on top of it.
Mm. Clayton Kershaw actually talked about his day today after game one, before game two, and well, he didn't really sugarcoat it. Clayton, how'd you pitch today?
It's really nothing you can do at this point. It's embarrassing. No excuses. You know, that was horrible. So, just put our team in a really bad spot in a doubleheader, and thankfully our guys, you know, in the pen stepped up and ate some innings for me, and yeah, I don't know, just. chalk it up to a really bad start and get ready for the next one.
Now, look, do I think the Dodgers are in trouble? No, they're fine. Okay, they've had a lot. They have a ton of injuries right now, obvious. And even though everybody they keep bringing up keeps hitting 350 in every good. Look at these guys.
Well, you had another one, right?
Yeah. Matt Beattie's got 8 RBIs today. Oh, that's great. They still have a lot of injuries. And the main thing is watching the Dodgers, they're not synced up. Like, it's like this happens so many times with the Mets where they get, hey, they pitched great for 3 games in a row, but they're dead from the neck up hitting, and they're not synced up. And so you have 3 great starts, and the Mets lose 2 out of 3. Because they can't score any runs. Or the games when the bats finally explode and they score 7 runs, the pitching's not there and they give up 10. That's kind of really what it is for the Dodgers. They're really just not synced up right now. And I've seen that, and I've seen that a lot going, boy, here's games where they pitch and they're just not where they should be. And let's be honest. Yes, they're 17-14. When you win the NL West every year and you go to the World Series almost every year and you're coming off winning the World Series, it was surprising that the Dodgers started out as fast as they did. I think that opening week series against the Padres had a lot to do with it. But you're going to see a little bit of malaise, and you're going to see a little bit of, well, when there's so many injuries, we're going to struggle a little bit. I'm not worried about the Dodgers at all. Eventually they'll get Bellinger back. They'll get some of their pitchers back. Things will start getting better. But, you know, right now, yes, it's just a tough time. They're going through it right now. I have no doubt the Dodgers are going to pick it up and turn it around. They're just in a really, really rough spot right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I love when athletes go on other athletes' podcasts, because sure, this is when you always get the best stuff from athletes, right? Because when an athlete goes on a podcast with a host, sometimes you get good stuff, or they do an interview of some kind. You know, sometimes it's good, but when athletes talk to other athletes, they always let their guard down. They don't feel like they're doing something for the media. They feel like, I'm hanging out with my guys and I'm just talking, right? Why does Aaron Rodgers say such big things on Pat McAfee's show? Because, you know, he was a player and they're players and they're hanging out and they're talking. That's just the way it goes. And today, former Rams cornerback Marcus Peters, who was subject of a pretty big trade. When the Rams first got Marcus Peters a couple of years ago, he was going to be, you know, their answer at cornerback. Well, didn't work out. They traded him away to Baltimore, where he's played the last year. And after that happened, the Rams went out and got Jalen Ramsey. So how does Marcus Peters think about this whole thing? Well, he went on Aqib Talib's podcast. You know, they were teammates with the Rams. Now, this trade happened well over a year ago. But Marcus Peters is still mad at the Rams for trading him and going to get Jalen Ramsey right away. Listen to the exchange between Peters and Aqib Talib.
I was pissed off more so because I'm at
it. So you was pissed off?
Oh, yeah. Him. That's how I was feeling, and I'm still feeling like that because...
Wait, stop for a second. What we bleeped out was him say, oh, the Rams? Yeah, blank them. I mean, yeah. Right away, right there. How do you feel about the Rams? Blank them. Okay, thanks, Marcus Peters. Let's continue here.
That's how I was feeling, and I'm still feeling like that because I felt disrespected in the sense of, yeah, y'all can trade me. That's a part of the business. But 2 minutes after that, you bring in another guy who do the same I do, maybe a little bit different. If we play this compare game, I do a little bit more. That was disrespectful to me.
Okay,
I took that personally.
He died when they traded me and then replaced me with Jalen Ramsey. Okay, let's stop for 1 second here. He says he understands it's part of the business when you get traded. But he was upset that they traded him and replaced him with another. What did he think was going to happen? They were going to trade him and say, we're going to leave the position open. We're not going to field. Yeah. We're only going to have one cornerback on the field. We're going to play a quarterback and 3 safeties.
No. Just a 7th round guy.
We're just going to put a guy. He's never played cornerback before. We're just going to put him out there and see if he knows. He doesn't even have cleats.
You know, he won a competition that we had. The season, on local television.
His parents were told the season started. They just found out last night. They didn't get a chance to go to Big Five to get cleats yet. So, you know, the first practice is going to be without cleats. All right, just so you know. I mean, yeah, of course they're going to go get somebody else when they trade you. Why are you worried about that? But this is what I say. Defensive backs in the NFL are a different breed, man. You know, I talk about NBA players who really want that respect and that street cred more than anybody else. Defensive backs are the new wide receivers, man. They're like, you do not disrespect me by trading me and then bringing in another player to play my position that you think could play it better. I don't understand what he said. It's like he's made that up to be mad at the Rams. Yeah, they bring in somebody else that kind of does the same things I do differently. The guy who was a little bit better than you, maybe. I mean, a little bit better. Yeah, your contract had a lot to do with it. They weren't going to bring you back the next year anyway. So this is where Marcus Peters has to understand you should have stopped after saying it's a business. Right, that's where it was, but he's still pissed off because he feels disrespected because the Rams traded him. This is defensive back diva-ness to the extreme. This is great.
No, but you gotta keep that in the memory bank. We all need motivation in different parts of our lives to spur us forward. Right, a failed, maybe you look back at how big a goober you were. I mean, and I mean you, Smith, trying to talk to people back in the day. I mean, you tried, and you were like that guy that was the meme that was going around, right? The kid that's dancing in front of this girl, and everybody's like, look at him shoot his shot. He's not saying a word, but he is dancing up a storm. I could see you doing that. Or in your jobs and whatever else, and you get passed over for a promotion. You get passed over in our business, right, for an on-air shift, or it's like, what did I do, or who did I tick off that I'm not getting this, that, the other? And every one of you out there, wherever you're listening, we appreciate you. You've got that in your job. You know, you've had moments. Why didn't I get assigned that project or that file? You know, that's the fun one, right? It's a big contract. It's potential for big commissions, whatever else. And what we have here with Marcus Peters is, all right, I'll keep that chip on my shoulder. So maybe my workouts are a little more intense because I have to show him, because now I'm always going to be compared to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that you might not have anyway, but now you're linked together forever because he's the guy that replaced you. So what is it? I'll show them. And then you go to a team that's also competitive, and let's see if we can run into each other come Super Bowl time. But, yeah, I know. I totally get the mentality. You got to keep that chip on your shoulder. Everybody's got something that drives you to bust your ass every day at a job you may not like.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And eventually you want to look back at your NFL career and go, I had a lot of fun there. Every
and
place
you will.
Every place I worked, even if it wasn't the greatest place in the world to work, NFL now, even if it wasn't the greatest place to in the world, I have a lot of good memories there of certain things. The
Just don't say the guys are gambling on a Monday night.
The bad ones are bad, and I try not to think of those. And when I think, I want to think about the good things. And he's clearly just, no shade, he just pissed off blank the Rams. I mean, that's part of his career. And honestly, look at it. They weren't going to bring you back with your contract in 2020. Jalen Ramsey is 2 years younger than you. Okay, Marcus Peters is a two-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro. All right, Jalen Ramsey is a four-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro. All right, so yeah, Jalen Ramsey's a little bit better than you. They upgraded. I mean, that's how it is. But DBs, man, it's like this is like the NBA. I want credit to the extreme. It's like they look like they're just a bunch of Boy Scouts hanging around roasting marshmallows. The NBA stars compared to DBs and shutdown cornerbacks when they want credit for who's the best and who isn't. I mean, it's like that's like the junior varsity of NBA players compared to DBs. That's the varsity.
I'm now thinking about Richard Sherman and going after Michael Crabtree. See, it all works.
I'm thinking about marshmallows and s'mores.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
A big night in the NBA. Steph goes for 37, but they lose. He can't be the MVP. Joining us now on the hotline for more on this and other huge stories, you can follow him on Twitter at Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports Radio analyst and insider extraordinaire. who right now is working on a very big piece for Fox Sports 1, a video essay on Julius Randle's MVP candidacy for the New York Knicks. Rick, what's happening?
I don't know how much time I have because that's going to take quite a bit of work. Is there a reason? Thank you for the background music, by the way. Were we jacking that up? Was that just my phone, or was that going about?
That's everybody. That's jacking you up.
Oh yeah. No, that's jacking you up. That's what it is. I mean, really. I mean, look, we had to have big music because the Knicks are going to finish with a winning record. I mean, nobody had that on NBA Bingo at the beginning of this season.
No, they definitely did not. But you know what I will say is, and we've been talking a lot about Julius Randle. When Scott Perry came over last year, I know obviously Leon Rose is running the show, bringing Tom Thibodeau in has had a big impact. But one of the things Scott Perry wanted to do when he came in was he wanted to create depth and toughness. And those two things are certainly hallmarks of what the Knicks have been. He just didn't have the right coach to get it done, but this wasn't like a one-year wonder. You know, you look at some of the guys, Randle included, like they were here. These weren't new acquisitions. The drafting of RJ Barrett, a lot of the pieces that they put together a year ago before Tibbs and Leon Rose showed up are proving to be big, big pieces of this Knicks iteration. So I just, in looking at it, obviously Tibbs has a great chance of being the coach of the year. I don't know about Julius's MVP chances, to be honest with you, even if my video wins, an Oscar. But that aside, I just, you know, I feel like Scott deserves a little bit of credit because the building blocks were in place for Tibbs to coach them up.
All right, so with the Knicks getting to the point where now where I expect the Knicks to win every night, let's get to a team we don't expect to win every night, and that's the Lakers. Look how much things have changed. You know, I expect the Knicks to go out and win because they're so good. After the win last night, AD thumps his chest and says, "We're back." Are the Lakers back?
I hope. You know, the problem is that I know that Anthony Davis was serious. If he was joking, I would have really appreciated that. Like, you know what? We got off the schneid. We lost 6 out of 7. We won a damn game. Yahoo. Like, but let's not take this seriously. Like, we're really back. I mean, look, they scored 89 points. They outshot the Nuggets from three point range, which is not going to happen on a regular basis. And for me, it says more about the Nuggets than it does the Lakers. Yeah, the Nuggets were missing a number of guards. Lakers were missing LeBron and Schroeder. The defense was as good as it's ever been. We know that the Lakers have great defense. But offensively, 93 points and Talen Horton Tucker is icing the game with a putback underneath Jokic. That to me is not the recipe that is going to win you a championship. Do I think they could still put it together if they get LeBron back healthy and Schroeder? Sure. But last night didn't demonstrate anything to me. In fact, and I've been saying this all year, when they first made some of the changes that they did, getting Matthews and Montrezl Harrell, we were thinking Marc Gasol, who had a rare great performance last night, or good performance. We thought, wow, they're even better than they were last year. And those pieces have not worked out. And we have seen that in the absence of Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Those additional pieces were supposed to improve them. I would say that, you know, missing Rondo and missing Dwight Howard, they were better last year. And I did not think that when they made the moves last summer. But that is proving to be true.
All right, the ankle, a problem for LeBron. He's reportedly going to miss the next couple of games, Clippers and the Blazers. But by missing those games, he's going to be perilously close to playing in those play-in rounds that he hates so much.
Yeah.
You're with me on this, I think.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's awfully self-serving for LeBron or Doncic or Mark Cuban who actually voted for the play-in games, to adopt the play-in games.
Yep.
Now, I like the idea. I mean, this is basically what these guys are saying. I like the idea of the play-in games. I just don't want to play in the play-in games. It's like, no. You don't get to choose it. I'd like somebody that we're playing to play in the play-in game, and then we'll play them. But I don't actually want to play in the play-in games. Look, it's the ratings have been suffering. This, by all indications, has made these games more competitive, more meaningful down the stretch. It was supposed to be an anti-tanking measure. It has served as that. You've got teams, 11 deep that are still trying to win games with a handful of games left. 2 years ago, prior to this, we had the Kings, 9 games behind the 8th-seeded Clippers? The season was meaningless with 2 weeks to go. So I love this thing. And I did say, when LeBron and AD were hurt and we were trying to figure out when they were going to get back, that they were going to face this dilemma. Do they bring them back and try to play them big minutes so that they avoid the play-in game, or do they ease them back in and risk the danger of having to play in the play-in games? Now, when I look at who they're going to play, there's nobody there that I believe should scare them. And if they're in the seventh seed, they've got to lose 2 games in order to not make the playoffs. And in one way, I could see where it actually, and this is the Lakers way, right? Feels like the bubble was this case last year. I could see where it actually benefits them to come in through the back door. If it means that they're matching up with a Phoenix Suns team who this iteration has never won a series together. Devin Booker never been in the playoffs. So you're suddenly going to be faced with a team that's very young, does have Chris Paul, has done some great regular season things, but postseason completely different. I mean, looking at the teams that they could potentially play, I would much rather play the Phoenix Suns, if I'm the Lakers, than the Denver Nuggets, fully healthy, or the Clippers, certainly. And so they may actually, if they slide into the play-in games, may actually end up being a benefit for them.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, Rick Bucher with us here. From there, let's get to a guy who starts to, whenever we say his name, people kind of roll their eyes and go, yeah, he was great, but look at Leah. You think about all the things that didn't work out for him and where he is in his career, but last night we watched Carmelo Anthony hit the top 10 in scoring in NBA history for a guy that's got a college national championship and 3 gold medals and, a lot of his career. I get it that it's kind of a punchline a bit because he couldn't win. He didn't play defense. He jumped around the league. But you want to talk about what he's achieved. People want to say, hey, Steph Curry's a great scorer. Look at what he's done. Steph Curry is 9,000 points behind Carmelo Anthony, and he's not catching him. In his NBA career, Steph is not going to catch Melo. And it's time to understand what a surefire Hall of Famer that Carmelo Anthony is going to wind up being when it's said and done.
He absolutely is a Hall of Famer. And, the unfortunate thing is I put at least some of the downfall or the dissatisfaction with Carmelo Anthony's career on the people that were the architects of the teams that he played on. Because when he played in Denver, and when he could just be a scorer, and he didn't have to be the leader, when he was there with Chauncey Billups, that was when he was at his best. And now that he's with Portland, again, he's at his best. The idea that he would go into New York and be the guy, be the leader, and you had your owner, Jim Dolenyo, giving away the entire farm in order to get him. Like, they had a nice little squad, and Dolan gave up every single asset in order to get Melo. And so it was all resting on his shoulders. And he's a great talent. He's a great scorer. What he's not is a team leader. And there were too many years in his career where he was placed in the position of having to be that. and we were left wanting. But look, I saw him when he came in. He was a better all-around player when he arrived than LeBron James was. Had a more complete game, was more skilled. LeBron James would tell you that. It's simply Carmelo didn't evolve, and LeBron ultimately did. But the talent and the accomplishments overall, you know, you gotta pay some respect to Carmelo. And to your point, without question, winning a championship at Syracuse, basically being the guy to win that championship, and then playing on some pretty good Nuggets teams, and just his longevity as a scorer, he's certainly in the Hall of Fame.
Well, he made
Jim Boeheim's career.
He's got three gold medals, too. And, yes, he did make Jim Boeheim's career, yep, which I'll always be very appreciative of him for.
That's the one he got. All right, last one for you, Rick. Going back, we talked a little bit of the Knicks and their building and all of that. That's Jason's world. For me, we have to go to the fact that they lost to the Pelicans tonight. Did Steph Curry lose the MVP tonight?
It wasn't his to lose, but you know, this is the difficulty that I have with Steph, because he is right now, he's just been the most exciting, entertaining player in the league, I think, without question. And yet, that doesn't mean you're the most winning or you're the most excellent. I mean, I get the sense that there are people out there who think that this is the best Steph Curry has ever been. And it's not by a long shot. In the, 14, 15, 15, 16, mm-hmm, first couple, that was when he was a scorer and he was an efficient playmaker and he was playing better defense than he is now. Obviously, defense collectively, you need a team around you that plays good defense to be able to do that. But nonetheless, his all-around game was far better then. What's exciting is, and some of it's by necessity, is that, the light is whatever, like shamrock green, and it's never turned off. So he can shoot from anywhere at any time, and it's electric to see him put down some of these shots. But the reality is it's all resulted in a 500 record. And I was having this conversation with several GMs, because I said the numbers this year, this season, are so over the top. Like, how do you judge whether a guy's actually playing better than he did previously, whether he's improved? Like, what the numbers mean? How do you divine that? And to a man, every one of them said, look at the team record. If the numbers aren't reflected in winning, then the numbers are suspect. And so, in part, not to downgrade what Steph's doing, because I love that he's back healthy and only he can shoot the way that he can shoot, but it's amounted to a team that is 500. So I have to keep all of this in context.
You can follow him on Twitter at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher. And don't forget the book Rebound, written Brian Grant's NBA career, about his life battling Parkinson's and finding what really matters. The book's doing great, Rick. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And by the way, Steph Curry, you're no Julius Randle, yo.
Look at that. That's a walk-off moment right there.
Hey, Rick's next book on the rookie season of Emmanuel Quickly will be coming out right at the end of the...
Quickly to the remainder's bin.
Yes. thanks a bunch, buddy. As always, we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys.
See you, Rick. Great. Just spend that advance as soon as it comes in.
Yeah. Like burning a hole in my pocket. I got to spend.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.